want to welcome you to another episode of Money Matters Top Tips for Success, where I bring on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives to share their top tips for success with you. My name is Adam Torres, and you can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to check out what's going on with the book releases, the book tours, book release parties coming up in LA, all of that good stuff. Really excited to have Romeo Elias on the line. He is the president and CEO of Intellect. Romeo, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam. Nice to be on here.
So I'm really excited to get into your niche and how you help your clients. So you help companies with digital transformation. A lot of entrepreneurs, executives listening to the show that definitely could possibly use some help with that, number one, but they want to hear some tips about it. Before we get into all that, though, you know, the entrepreneurs listening, maybe the younger entrepreneurs or the mid-career entrepreneurs, I want to know, how'd you get started as an entrepreneur?
Sure. Gosh, take me way back here. You know, I grew up in a family where my father was an entrepreneur. Pretty much, all my life, I've seen him start businesses, end businesses, succeed in some, shut down others, and you know, and for the most part, it was just normal to have and start a company. You know, when I graduated from college, I actually moved to the U.S., got my degree, and my dad had a company out in Africa in Nigeria that I could have gone back and take over and run. But I didn't want to go back. I want to stay here. I want to start something here. And I realized that either if I'm going to stay here, I might as well, I should start something. Otherwise, I have an opportunity to go back and take a follow in his footsteps. So I decided to stay. And this was back in the late 90s and early 2000s. And it was in the middle of the whole internet boom. And having graduated in an engineering degree, I wanted to really do something for engineers, and when we started a company, and it was a software company to help mechanical engineers do their work, do their designs, connect them with manufacturers, walk them through the whole process. It was one of the early internet startups back then, and we started when the market crashed. So that was the
first
money experience. We started the market crash. We had raised a little bit of money, and then pretty much we had to bootstrap and pivot and just go through lots of hardship as we kind of build the business and really listen to our early customers. And the business changed a lot over the years, evolved a lot based on kind of just feedback from everybody. But that's how it all started. It was really having this background and really want to start something over here myself as well.
Wow, that crash, obviously everybody that was in business during that time, and especially tech related, just felt it, or any business really. I always say that I kind of sidestepped that crash by going to college. That's the only way I got around it. I was working at a brokerage firm prior to that. This would be what, 98, and started college in 2000, and I was going through my third year, like, oh my gosh, that's how I got away from it. And it was just a whole nother world at that point. You obviously had the you're okay, it sounds like, with the new beginnings. I mean, you're definitely somebody that has taken a certain amount of calculated risk in some of your decisions. I'm just curious. Do you find that that calculated risk is definitely part of the entrepreneur's path?
Yes, and to be honest about, when I look back, I mean, I was working, I had a job, and I'd been there for a couple of years as a mechanical engineer. I just couldn't, rationalize it that I'm doing this job working here as an employee when I could be running a company, and I just could not. I didn't feel right. I had to do it, and frankly, I had no savings. I had deep debt in credit cards, but I just had this desire, this urge. I got to do it, and I knew I could consult in the meantime on the side and try and make some money that way to keep me going. But I did take a pretty, if you look back right now, it's a pretty high risk kind of decision that I made. But I think the biggest thing that drove me was I had this belief in myself that I felt that, look, the worst case scenario, I'll go work at McDonald's. I mean, that's, if I had to do that, I can get a job again. It wasn't the end of the world. And, and I had just gotten married. I had, about to get married. Actually, I should just started my life, you know, it was a big risk, but I think I had this belief that once I jump from the plane, that's how I look at it. So I'm going to jump from the plane. The hardest decision is jumping. Once you make it, though, you got to pull that parachute and land somewhere. You're not going to just fall flat. That's how I always looked at it. So I had this belief, and I jumped, and I started consulting. I started starting the business on the side and began just bootstrapping and getting people, recruiting people, and raising money and all that. And then just kind of slowly things picked up from there. But I think, you know, as I move from there, I mean, risk is something you have to be comfortable with. Every decision you make as an entrepreneur is a calculated risk. And I think if you're way too conservative, it's going to be difficult to, especially as an entrepreneur, you have to be able to believe in yourself and believe in your gut sometimes. And I always tell people that you never have all the information at your fingertips, especially when you're starting out. I mean, you have to be resourceful. You got to do the best you can with the information you have and believe that, hey, you made the best decision based on that information. You could be wrong, but hey, that's the best you could do at this point and just keep moving forward. Otherwise, you'll be stuck forever not making a decision and not moving forward. And that's a big risk for a lot of entrepreneurs starting out.
Absolutely. What are your thoughts on failure?
You know, that's a good question, too. If I look back, I must have failed a lot during these, because I mean, depends on what you define as failure. For me, it's ultimately is giving up. If I give up on something, and even then, I probably would look at it, I would be deciding why I'm giving up and I'll be doing it from a different angle. I never really see it as failure, because I mean, if I look at the deals, there's so many deals that we didn't win, so many investors who never invested, so many people that didn't believe in us, and every single conversation you can say was a failure. I just never see it like that. I just look at it as, you know, it's just a matter of you're going to get people saying yes, people saying no. Some things are going to work out, some things are not going to work out, and you just, in the end, you keep pushing forward and you have to keep that grit going. So I never really think of failure as failure, I guess, in a traditional sense. And if I was to define, let's say, if I completely give up on something, and not because I choose to give up, but because I somehow, you know, gave up, then maybe that's failure. But I can't really relate to that concept very well.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And you have what I have. It's called selective amnesia.
Yeah, you know what?
I have the same thing. And you know what they say is that, you know, and I don't subscribe to this per se, but I remember growing up hearing it. And, you know, there's some correlation for some actual, like, exams, depending on what industry you're at. Like, if you get a perfect score on your Series 7, you're probably not going to be a good financial advisor, right? Because remember, every person that tells you no. you're just too smart.
No.
You're too smart. So, like, you have to have a little bit of that selective amnesia to where failure, what? I don't think anybody's ever told me no.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing, too, is I think back so many times we got so close to something working out or getting this deal or winning something, and we think, oh, yeah, it's happening, and then last minute something happens and it goes completely the opposite direction. And so you go through these roller coasters so much as an entrepreneur that, you know, I don't know how the best way to describe it. I have so much resistance to the emotional roller coaster now. I watch myself very, very carefully. I don't just believe it's going to happen until I know the money's in the bank. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just together. Yeah, really, it's just
too emotional,
all the ups and downs.
I love it. And it's true. And for anybody out there listening, that's never happened to you, right? Yeah, it has. All good. Let's transition a little bit. I want to talk about your current company. Let's talk about Intellect.
Sure. I mean, so Intellect really is the company. It's funny, when we started, it was the actual corporate name is Interneer. At the time, it was Internet Engineer. So Interneer, that made sense to us, and we were all engineers and so on. But then, you know, we started the company, as I mentioned, it was all around workflow automation. But back then, you know, we didn't really understand what we were doing. We just knew that there was a need. We had this problem automating processes for engineers. And then we started to hear from our clients that, hey, I could use the same thing in different departments, in sales, in manufacturing, and in project management. And so we realized it's really more broader, and this is solving a business process and problem as compared to an engineering process. And so it wasn't like, say, maybe about 8-9 years later, we realized there's this whole concept of workflow automation and business process management that we really fit under. And we started building on that. And then as we evolved, it was a very, you know, general platform that could solve any business problem. And one thing people always told me as an entrepreneur, a lot of my mentors would say, you got to focus, you got to focus. And we always tried to find industries to focus in. It was very difficult early on to see patterns. And I'd say a few years back, we realized that a lot of our clients, we started to see more of a trend. They were using our platform to meet compliance needs, specifically regulatory compliance around, you know, FDA or ISO or quality standards. And so we took the platform and then focused it on the whole FDA and ISO quality manufacturers meeting their needs in compliance and creating these out-of-the-box solutions that they can use in them to quickly become certified and meet the compliance of these different entities. And because it's a regulatory compliance issue, it's a quality issue, there's a lot of need, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of money behind it, there's a lot of fear. It really lined up very well. And that was a strategic decision we made a few years back in the company. I was completely focused on that market. And having our underlying workflow technology gives us a very good differentiator in that space so that we not only can provide them out-of-the-box solutions to meet their needs, but also they can tailor them through their platform to their needs themselves through drag and drop, very easily modify those workflows to meet their internal business process needs. And that was a nice big differentiator in that space. And Intellect, by the way, was the name of the product, and all our customers started, you know, referring to themselves as intellectuals, and it was a natural progression to rebrand ourselves to Intellect as a company name as well.
That's great. First story I've heard of the client kind of naming the company. That's awesome. An organic name, if you will. So what kind of clients do you service? Like, who do you serve?
So we focus primarily on manufacturers, mid-size manufacturers, also a lot of SMBs, and essentially they're either regulated by the International Standard Organization, ISO, or they're regulated by the FDA because they provide medical devices, or they are in pharma or nutraceuticals. And one of the nice niches we found is nutraceuticals is a very big growing market that is not very well served. And our solution fits them very, very well. So we're really going after that. But we also know that medical devices and there's others that we can also slice in. But in general, it's manufacturers that are regulated that need to solve and maintain high quality standards.
And I mean, ultimately, your goal in doing this also is, I mean, your other value add, other than they have to meet their compliance, is just is saving them time through the efficiency.
Absolutely.
So what is that
Absolutely.
Look
so,
like?
So the benefits for them is, one is just to meet the regulations, obviously, that's obvious. The other thing is they can meet the regulations with paper, and they can meet it with spreadsheets, but that's obviously as you grow as a company and you mature, you can't keep doing that. You're not going to scale. You're going to be so inefficient, and so a lot of companies decide they need to digitize and become completely automated, which is really what our platform does. It provides them a smart quality automation, allows them to become digital, save money, save time, reduce scraps, reduce returns, increase their quality, quality results, standardize across the whole organization. I mean, a lot of benefits come from having this platform in place, and they start with quality processes, but then because it's an extensible platform, they're able to then take it to automate other processes in the business. Maybe it's an engineering production process, or maybe it's a work management process or a warranty returns process. So they have the platform that enables them to automate all of those processes eventually.
No, that's great. And what's your website? How does somebody, if they're listening to this and they're like, hey, I need to speak to Romeo. What's your website? How does somebody get a hold of you?
Sure. It's www.intellect.com, like intellectuals, very easy to remember, very easy to get to. And I'm on Twitter under Tweet Romeo. I actually publish daily business tips, startup tips for entrepreneurs. So happy to give people, if somebody has any questions, I try to mentor a lot of companies and startups, especially in the software world, enterprise SaaS world. You can find me on Tweet Romeo, also on LinkedIn and on the website.
Can you say that a little slower? What was your Twitter handle again, please?
Tweet Romeo.
Okay, got it. Plus, Tweet
Romeo.
Yeah. No, that's great. All right. Well, hey, Romeo, I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come on the show today and give us some background and some tips for these entrepreneurs and executives out there. So thank you. And to the listeners, thank you as always for listening. And don't forget, you can catch my the book release schedule, everything that I have going on publishing-wise over on Instagram at AskAdamTorres. And if you'd like to apply to be a featured author in one of my upcoming books, head on over to the website, moneymatterstoptips.com, and click on the Become an Author tab. All right, everyone, have a wonderful day, and thank you again, Romeo.